You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am here with my favorite hosts, Derek and Ryan. How are you guys?
Good.
Really good.
Really good.
Yeah, totally good.
So good.
You guys ready to do this? Ready to do this?
We are so ready.
All right. Do this.
That's right.
So, we are here to do three things. We are here to discuss the Dark Crystal.
Chew bubblegum and kick ass.
In preparation for Dark Crystal Age of Resistance.
Okay.
We are here to discuss the Matrix sequel. Because that's a thing, guys. And we're here to talk about why Spidey was just ripped back into his universe. That's what we're doing.
It's a little hyperbolic.
You're hyperbolic.
All right. So let's. Do you want to start with Disney news, or do you want to do non-Disney news first? Because there's more Disney news than non-Disney news.
I don't think it really matters. I don't think our listeners care how we categorize.
Then let's start with the Matrix 4 that was announced today as we're recording this, which is Tuesday.
The one article I read, I didn't get to read a lot of them. It just only quoted one Wachowski sister on board, which was Lana. Didn't say the other one.
Right. Lana's going to direct and write the Matrix 4, which will include Neo and Trinity.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Because both of them died in the last movie they did. So, for those of you who may not be familiar with the Matrix trilogy, you should go watch the 1999 The Matrix, and then you should go watch other things. Because the next two movies are pretty terrible, and then your two heroes die in the third film. So how can they come back?
Science fiction, wibbly wobbly stuff.
They just inject their souls into some new babies.
Yeah. I think they're going to inception it, and it's the real world is actually the real world, the Matrix real world, and it's a Matrix within a Matrix.
I hate the words you just said.
So they're going to find each other in the real world.
Please stop talking.
This is why Will Smith turned down the role, by the way.
That is not why he did it.
He did it to do Wild Wild West.
Yes, he did.
Wiki-wa.
Which I maintain, not a good movie, but it's fun.
Yeah, the villain is great.
Kenneth Branagh's hilarious.
It has fewer terrible sequels than The Matrix.
I mean,
that's a fact.
It also has more robotic spiders than The Matrix.
It does, and less Jesus ideology.
Yeah. Checks out.
There's a lot of that, especially the third Matrix movie, but there's a lot of that in the Matrix trilogy.
We are 3 minutes in, and there's a lot to unpack based on what we just said already. I'm not quite sure. Right. Maybe we should just skip things.
So they're doing a Matrix 4. It doesn't make a lot of sense. We only know those three people are attached to it. And by people, I'm sorry, I guess I didn't say it's actually Keanu Reeves and
they're riding the Keanu good wave that's going on for him right now. It's clearly what's going on.
I think you're right. Yeah.
There comes a time in every white male actor's life where he reaches a point and wants to do sequels to everything he's already done. Now, Keanu is kind of an outlier. He's not just white. He's a little white. But still, he's following in the
also,
steps.
Also, he has the success to actually be able to do that. If you talk about somebody like Steve Buscemi, if he wanted to do a sequel to every movie he's ever made, then I'm pretty sure that he doesn't have the star power to pull that.
If Steve Buscemi wanted to do, like, Fargo 2.
Yes.
Or
with Nicolas Cage?
If he was the one who is like, man, I just really want to get the Coen brothers to do Big Lebowski 2 and write me back in, I'd be like, okay, Steve. You were the most disrespected character in that movie. Okay.
Neither of you called me out on my mistake just then. You said Steve
Buscemi.
No, we
ignored it.
And I thought you were talking about Con Air.
Yeah.
Which I'd really love to see a sequel to.
Why?
Because it's ridiculous. Con Air is amazing.
I know you want to see a sequel to it.
Nicolas Cage would not turn that down. Yes, but I'm an outlier, clearly.
You would not turn that down.
I mean, it could be an hour and a half of Nicolas Cage's mullet wig blowing in the wind. I guess it wasn't really a mullet, but you know what I mean, blowing in the wind.
Oh, it wasn't a wig.
Yeah. And plus that accent. Like, I could just listen to him talk to me in that accent for an hour and a half, and I would pay $5 for that.
So I always forget, like, all the people in that. Like, wasn't it, like, John Malkovich and John Cusack? Mm-hmm, like,
and then is it Steve Austin?
Machete himself was in there.
Oh, Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Who just saved,
Steve Buscemi,
like,
was in there, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I thought we were talking about Con Air for a minute. Because I thought I heard someone say Nicolas Cage, and my brain
probably did. Yeah. It just happens sometimes.
Ryan says it so many times in his head, he has no idea which times he verbalizes it.
I'm just constantly thinking it. Sometimes it just comes out in conversation.
Oh, my God. Like, how happy would you be if Dark Crystal Age of Resistance had a season 2 and they hired Nicolas Cage?
I mean... Like, I'd be a happy
Worlds
person.
Worlds colliding,
yeah. I'd be a very happy person.
Would he just be himself? He'd be the first human in the Dark
Crystal. He'd be the first Landstrider voice we hear.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's exactly what he would be.
Exactly, right?
Exactly.
It's perfect.
He's a Landstrider.
So speaking of Keanu Reeves, because that's who we were talking about.
Yeah, going back.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was the segue I was going to use when
Nicely
it was
done.
Relevant.
Too bad.
Birds of Prey news. They've hired.
Did you just segue a segue?
No. They've hired the John Wick
director to punch up some action sequences.
Yeah, and Keanu Reeves is the star of John Wick, so that was the segue.
I don't know. It's kind of loose.
Okay.
It was weak, but we can go there.
Tighter.
We can go with it.
Get
Ryan,
it tighter. Get it together.
What do you think about this? I've only seen the first John Wick, unfortunately.
I haven't seen the third one. I've seen the first two. And what's more impressive to me about those is the gun choreography rather than, like, fight choreography. The action scenes are great all around, but, you know, Black Canary doesn't really use guns.
Huntress and Harley do.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I guess I was more of a fan of Black Canary and her being, like, one of the best martial artists in DC. I'd like to see that reflected, and I hope I do see that reflected. But yeah, I think for the action scenes for Huntress and Harley, that's a great move. I just hope it also translates to Canary.
I agree. I think this is probably a really fun move on DC's part, and I'm kind of like cautiously eager for this movie. I'm tired of DC having hot mess films. I'm not going to call them terrible because I can sit and pinpoint exactly like what ideas they had originally or where the writers or directors were trying to go before studio intervention. But I want this to be another Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam, and not another Suicide Squad, Justice League. That's all. That's all I want.
I understand.
Mediocre superhero film. Like, bring back the 90s. Just give me something watchable, please.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, moving on then. Ryan's very happy about this, I'm sure. But it was announced this weekend that Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Why are you pointing me out? You guys are in. You guys like Masters of the Universe also,
I
don't
do.
You? So,
well, see, and I actually love the live action movie Master of the Universe.
So you probably wouldn't like the cartoon then.
No, I like the cartoon, but I love the movie. I don't know why it's terrible, but I did.
Yeah, and it doesn't really relate to Masters of the Universe at all.
No.
Other than just a name.
I mean, Skeletor is there. That's about as far as it goes. Anyway, yeah, so Masters of the Universe Revelation will be an animated series.
An anime.
An anime.
Yeah, it's not just an animated series. They actually called it an anime.
Neat.
Okay.
Which
is,
there is a difference.
There is. Yeah, I had not seen it called an anime specifically.
I watched the panel where Kevin Smith revealed it at.
Okay.
And they said it was going to be an anime. And I think it says it on the poster, too.
Are they connecting it to the new She-Ra series at all? That's disappointing.
It's connected to the old show. It takes place right where the old show left off, which there wasn't really like an underlying theme through the whole show,
right.
Like a storyline. There weren't like plot hooks, you know? So, I mean, it's carrying on the same characters. But when I watched the panel, basically Kevin Smith pitched it as Skeletor never really got close to what he wanted in the cartoon, right? He was pretty inept or whatever. But what if he actually did get close? And that's what the show is supposed to be, which makes me pretty excited. I don't really love Skeletor being completely inept.
Posing villain.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean,
or he got his shit together at least for one attempt, you know?
That does make sense then why it may not tie into She-Ra, because maybe this show is directed towards a slightly older audience then.
Well, and also if you watch She-Ra, I don't know that it would make sense in the same universe. I mean, there are some fleeting references to Eternia and, you know, He-Man stuff, but it's going to be a clearly different tone. And, I mean, as much as I'd love to see She-Ra, you know, show up at some point or something like that, I don't know that the shows should be related in this case.
I was thinking that it was going to be an eventuality and, you know, we would see kind of what the 90s did with Hercules and Xena and, you know, just kind of have an all ages show that has crossovers. And but,
I mean, it'd be cool. I just would. I don't know. I don't love the animation style for She-Ra. It's I watched the show and I enjoyed it, but I'm more of an adult anime type fan, so I'm looking forward to the animation style for He-Man. It would be weird for them to do that style and then go to She-Ra's style. And it would also be weird for She-Ra to like change over into this style or whatever it's going to be. So I don't really know how they pull that off, but it would be cool. I'd love to see She-Ra show up. And I hope Teela looks awesome, and I hope she's a big part of it, you know?
Maybe they just, you know, agree to have two different versions of the character like, you know, DC does with some of their stuff. Yeah. And, you know, we can have an all-ages He-Man join She-Ra, and we can have an adult She-Ra join
He-Man. More He-Man, more Masters of the Universe. I won't ever complain about that.
No, yeah.
And Kevin Smith helming it, he is a really big fan. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
He is the ultimate nerd. So anytime he gets his hands on a property, I never feel like he's going to butcher it. Because anytime he has some creative control over something else, he seems to do just fine with it.
Yeah.
When his name's attached to something, I tend to look forward to it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't necessarily love every single thing he's ever done. But
no, like Jersey Girl and Zach and Mary make a porno and like...
It had its moments.
Well, like parts of it were funny. Parts of it had Kevin Smith, but Kevin Smith was trying to emulate other directors. He tried to make a rom-com. He tried to make a Judd Apatow film, and he knows that. He knows he wasn't trying to be himself
anymore.
He
did, during the panel, say... You know, I am the guy that made Yoga Hosers as a joke, you know, for not people not to get their hopes up too much about it. But as he, I mean, he is a huge He-Man fan, and
Yoga Hosers was fun.
I never saw it, but
like he made the ideal film for his kid, and it was pretty great. Like, I can't.
It's worth checking out. It was really fun
as like a father-daughter gift. It was cool. I totally appreciated that. That's where he was coming from, and it shouldn't be taken more seriously than that.
It was like a ridiculous, like, B-horror movie style type of thing. Like, it wasn't meant to be taken super seriously. That was not the point.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
So let's talk Disney stuff. There's big like news. A million Disney things.
Right.
I guess we can get the Disney Plus stuff out of the way really quick, because that stuff's really easy. Disney Plus lands on November 12th in the United States, Canada, and the Netherlands. It'll be $6.99 USD, at least. The prices vary slightly in the other countries. Or for $12.99, you can get it bundled with ESPN Plus and Hulu with ads. It will launch with The Mandalorian as a premiere day, launch day show.
They're going to have most of the...
All the episodes for The Mandalorian?
I don't think so. It doesn't specify... Nothing I've read specified, but I can't imagine they're going to drop all of it. The thing now seems to be to release one episode a week to kind of keep people subscribed.
I mean, Netflix still doesn't do that.
Netflix, though, is the only one that doesn't do that.
No,
now.
Amazon...
Also
drops
doesn't do
everything
that.
At once. Amazon and Netflix drop everything at once. Hulu and the smaller networks.
Well, CBS All Access, DC Universe.
That's what I said, the smaller networks.
But like Stars, Showtime, HBO. So
I mean, those are smaller streaming services than...
But they're big names. I mean,
sure.
Those have been around for a really long time. So
it's also what they're used to, because it's the way they do the shows on cable. So.
Sure, absolutely. I did a little poll on Twitter. There's still time if you'd like to vote. You can still vote through, well, by the time you're listening to this, I guess if you're not watching live, it'll be over. But I asked people if they would be signing up, and of course Twitter gives you four choices. So the choices were yes, signing up for the bundle, yes, but Disney Plus only, undecided, and no. And I was curious, guys, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I want to see what their no ads deal will cost. The problem with the no ads thing now is that I still get ads. It's not exactly No ads, Hulu? Never. Yeah.
Yeah, like certain when I watch programs, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. There's an ad before and after.
It isn't no ads. It's limited ads.
Yeah. I know.
Official... But that's like the only show I watch where it's no ad or where there's limited ads. Everything else is pretty much no ads.
It,
I would prefer
it depends.
Doing that one,
if
too.
The content is currently airing, then I notice that it has
true.
Some ads in between. And then if the content is, you know, backlogged, then not so much. But I don't mind ads here and there. You know, I watch them on YouTube. I don't pay for YouTube. Like,
what? Get an ad blocker. Jeez, what year is this?
Anyway, Ryan, what about you?
Again, I would rather do the no ads version. So if there's an option for that, I would probably consider that. But otherwise, I'll go to the bundle, I'm sure.
Fair enough. On our poll, we had a tie, actually. Two-way ties. 29% said that they would get the bundle. Also, 29% said they would just get Disney Plus. And then 21% both said they were undecided or no, they're not getting it. So
fine.
Still looks like nearly 60% of people are interested in signing up for it in some form.
Well, and if The Mandalorian is good, then that will bring in more people. There's probably a bunch of people that are waiting to see if that show's worth it.
How many people did Game of Thrones bring to HBO?
Brought me to HBO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And I'm sure the Marvel shows will increase that interest as well.
It hasn't worked for DC Universe. So their shows have been good, and I haven't really seen more people talking about it, unfortunately. So.
No, DCU is very odd, and we've talked about it before, but like, you know, it was difficult to even have a device that could run the app for a long time, and the show quantity is really small. Like, at least with Disney, you're going to get like a massive back catalog of films and TV shows. You're going to get like all of The Simpsons, for example, the classic Disney films. With DC Universe, it launched with basically just old DC stuff, animated DC stuff, and then Titans.
And comics.
And comics, which most people aren't signing up to a streaming service for, I would imagine.
It seems hit or miss. You know, CBS All Access was able to do it with just Discovery as their new content, and DCU did the exact same thing, put a bunch of back stuff on it, and tried one new show, and it wasn't as successful. So I'm not quite sure where the future may go for individual network stream. I hope they're all shut down, though.
Or join the bigger networks, yeah.
No, I don't want monopolies. I don't want things bought out. I just don't I don't need everybody making exclusive paid for barrier content.
Well, I mean, unfortunately we're there already. You know, with Disney's comes out in November, Warner Brothers is launching HBO Max, which is their version of it, which I assume will eventually include all of the DC universe. It's already going to include HBO. NBC is launching their own supposedly sometime next year. There's no real date around that.
YouTube has Cobra Kai, YouTube Premium.
Yeah, YouTube
yeah.
Red.
So like there's
that's another one that drops their whole series at once.
Yeah,
that's true.
I kind of forgot about YouTube Red.
Don't they do a lot
It's not called YouTube Red anymore. I think it's called YouTube Premium or something like that.
But if you think about the major TV networks, right, once NBC launches theirs and Warner Brothers launches theirs, that's it. There's nobody else left who doesn't have one.
I think that CW could really benefit from exercising their streaming service. They've had one for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And all their shows are made for the teenage young adult crowd. Those are the people that watch their stuff more mobile anyway. So, you know, I actually think it would benefit them, whereas the majority of TV viewers for the major network are people that still don't pay for cable and have like rabbit ears. Like,
I mean, those people definitely still exist.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm related to them, so I know they still exist. They're not...
Right. Yeah. I don't know what percentage of the market they make up anymore.
I don't know.
You know, but the real issue is, you know, we could...
But come on, nobody is streaming, like, Price is Right and Wheel of Fortune anymore. Like, you pop that on basic cable, it's what's on or something.
Yeah.
So...
I understand. But it's going to get to a point where not having cable is going to be more expensive than just getting cable.
Yeah.
True. Especially now they're doing bundles with stuff that people don't necessarily want. You know, the people that are doing Disney Plus probably don't really care about ESPN you know, or any of that stuff with the Hulu. They're probably doing Hulu and Disney Plus, and the ESPN is just like,
it's okay. There.
It could be like for a full household, like not to play into gender stereotypes too much or anything, but like maybe dad wants ESPN, maybe mom wants, or maybe mom HBO. Wants ESPN. Yeah, maybe. Like I dad said, wants. Oh my God.
Well, like I will certainly
Disney
watch
Plus is for kids.
Like, I will certainly I watch the ESPN stuff. I'm interested in that, so I'll certainly watch it.
I only want to watch the Ocho.
Yeah, well, that happens. They actually do that once a year, usually.
I know. It's like on April Fool's or something like that.
No, it was actually just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. During Shark Week?
That it varies. Seems... But anyway, I mean, so... But it is one of those things where I wouldn't pay extra, necessarily, to get ESPN, right?
But are you?
Well, I'm going to probably get the bundle because...
Right, so you are.
Well,
because it's part of the bundle.
I'm not paying extra for ESPN. I'm paying this. Basically, what I would be doing is swapping my ads that I don't have on Hulu to get Disney Plus because my price won't change. I'll just have ads in my Hulu, and then on top of that, I'll have Disney Plus.
Right, but if ESPN was not included, would it only be $10? Is what I'm saying.
Well, right, clearly, I don't know. Right, know. It would be the question. If they don't offer that bundle, then that price doesn't exist.
Right.
And that's what I'm worried about. You guys are talking about you want your limited ad Hulu. They may not offer that bundle.
No, you're totally right.
In that case, I will just consider doing $6.99.
Yeah,
in Hulu without ads. So
we'll that's fair. All right, so let's get to we're spending a lot of time on news.
Yeah,
like it's like the big thing.
We have to talk about it. So just about 4 hours ago, maybe five, we learned that Sony and Disney have broken their deal. They are no longer going to be sharing Spider-Man in the MCU.
Don't frame it like that. No one broke anything.
They're not continuing it. They're not renewing it. There's not going to be a new deal for five more pictures or whatnot.
There are also a couple of different stories going on right now. One of them says that they're still negotiating.
Yep.
Somebody, Joe Blow or somebody, reached out to Sony.
I think it was IO9.
IO9, and they said Sony said that negotiations are ongoing.
There are a couple articles that just say that Kevin Feige is not involved, but the MCU and Marvel and Disney, still is. So Kevin Feige just wanted to be on board, which would be the first MCU movie since, Incredible Hulk that he wasn't executive producer.
And what's interesting there is that the resource or the source that Ryan's mentioning or referencing, that person also said that it had to do with producer credits, which I don't know that I believe that Sony would be willing to walk away over a credit in a movie. Well, you know, that seems like something worth still sitting at the table.
I have
to
a
talk
feeling
about.
They just really don't like Feige.
I mean, that may be what it is. Yeah. There's some lines in the articles that I've been reading today that reference the fact that Feige wants control over any Spider movie that Sony does, and producer credit on any Spider movie that Sony does. That would include Venom or Into the Spider-Verse. And there's reports of the uncredited work that he did on other Spider projects, whatever, and they're all untitled or whatever. And it just seems kind of sketchy. But the reason I don't want people using the word like an agreement was broken or somebody killed a deal. This was a contract. The contract was fulfilled. So the contract is over. So this is no different than if you have your contract with your cell phone provider and then your contract is up, you can then go do something else, right? Without breaking
that
contract.
And you're right.
Phrasing is important because people are really slamming Sony for this. And I think that without knowing the full details of these deals, we can't have a complete opinion about what is fair or not fair. But I think it is also, I do think it is unfair to say a deal was broken or killed when there is no deal to break or kill.
So instead of let's discussing this, because all three of us are on the exact same page, let's break down the facts for everybody, because the three of us have essentially done our research slightly more than the average internet
troll
apparently.
Twitter troll apparently.
Okay,
my first negative interaction on Twitter today.
2019. Well, welcome aboard, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I've been pretty positive before this.
Okay, so the original deal was for the Spider-Man character only to appear in five MCU movies. Far From Home was it. That was number five.
There were reports that, like, if that made $1 billion, then there would be one more movie. So I'm not sure whatever happened with that. Because didn't it make?
It did.
It did.
It crossed it.
Of course, again, we don't know the exact details of that contract. It could have been something very specific about the time frame at which it would make $1 billion. It is being re-released on August 29th with 4 extra minutes, but it's already broken $1 billion, so that's not relevant.
Yeah, it's not doing it. It's more cash, but it's not doing it because of needing to cross that billion mark. Because
that could be sketchy, but that isn't the case here.
The original contract also agreed to let Tom Holland play Spider-Man in an MCU movie and a Sony movie. So with this contract being over, Tom Holland could still appear in films in Sony Studios. If no new contract is reached, he's still able to continue. He may be out of a job because sometimes that's how contracts work, but he may not be. He could still be used. What else do we know? Oh, the original contract was for a few side characters only, things like Ned and MJ, not Mary Jane, not Harry Osborn, and not a lot of the villains either.
Aunt May probably was part of that.
Aunt May was part of it. The mention of Uncle Ben, but he was not allowed to be cast. That's why we did
Which is fine.
Right.
I've seen him die too many times.
But that's why we didn't see him die a third time already. So
it also makes me, this whole thing makes me worry a little bit that, like, we'll never get to see Michael Keaton back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so it raises some interesting questions.
Like,
right?
Is Vulture controlled by Sony or Marvel Studios?
So if we assume for a moment that this deal is done, that they're not moving forward, because, I mean, anything could be negotiated tomorrow, right? But if we assume that this is the end of the road for this partnership, what does Sony continue the rights for? What does Marvel continue the rights for? Can Marvel bring back Mysterio or J. Jonah Jameson or the Vulture, right? Mm. Like, I don't know. And I don't know what Sony can use. We do know that Sony can use Tom Holland as Spider-Man. So we could see him in his own movie under Sony.
Venom too.
In Venom, something in the Spider-Verse if they wanted to do some crazy crossover stuff. But, you know, we know bits and pieces about why some of these conversations may have broken down. Some of the reports are saying that Disney wanted a 50-50 co-financing deal, which included anything Spider-related, which I mentioned earlier.
And also, that would lead to 50-50% of the profits
well. And to those who don't know, and Ryan mentioned this to me earlier today, and it's important to bring up again, is that Disney gets 100% of the merchandising rights.
So that means that they don't just make money off of MCU Spider-Man toys and merch. They are also making money off of Venom and Into the Spider-Verse.
Right.
Even their movie posters that are being printed and then sold, Sony is not seeing. So Marvel and Disney aren't involved in Venom or Into the Spider-Verse at all, but they still are reaping all the profit from toys and clothes.
Which is, Star Wars proved that it was the biggest moneymaker relating to a movie. Movies are not as profitable as toys.
Absolutely.
And toys and merchandise.
And this is the case. This was the case prior to this original contract, and this would be the case when this contract either is renewed or not renewed, right? So at the end of the day, Disney stands to still make a fortune off of the character of Spider-Man.
Yes.
So I think it's important just to kind of keep that in mind.
But in the new negotiations, rumors have it, or articles are reporting, that Disney wasn't going to let up off that. So they were going to end up making 50% of the profits on movies they were not a part of, and 100% of profits on merchandising as well. So in the end, Disney sounds like they were trying to bully Sony out of even more money. And when it comes down to it, like Derek told me earlier, Sony is not a bigger movie studio than Disney, but it's a bigger company than Disney.
They're more diversified. They
have their hands in more pots,
right? They have the entire PlayStation division. They have their technology division, which includes televisions. They own Blu-ray is Sony.
Don't they make like musical instruments?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot to their business that's much more complicated than your average movie studio or production company.
Right, because Fox isn't like this. Fox is just media content. This is not the same argument.
But what's important here to kind of keep in mind is also these kind of credits, these producer credit things, could also lead to Disney having a lot of creative control over any Spider characters. And then by that point, Sony has essentially sold Spider-Man without selling Spider-Man.
Because think about it, producers are able to get their hands in so many different things. Sure, there are the kind of producers that just cut the check and walk away, but there are also the kind of producers that are on set every day.
Like Feige.
Right.
Critical control over everything from, you know, script writing to hiring and firing and production. And
Sony has made it clear that Spider-Man is not for sale. And so if the deal is that they're going to start losing creative control and they can't make their own movies without having Disney's fingers all over it, they're not going to take that deal. And I think that that's a fair thing for them to think for characters that they rightfully own, that they purchased clean and clear without any shady operations. They just bought those characters. So
Sony, if they're renegotiating, you can bet that Sony is going to try and get a bit more. Now, I don't think that they want to screw over fans, because in the end, we're the ones that lose out on content.
I don't think they care about fans. It's a business. They care about money.
People want to ostracize their fan base.
I don't think they want to, but I don't think also they're going, well, we should definitely do this deal. Not that you implied this, but they're not like sitting in a boardroom going, man, our fans are going to be really mad. We should do this deal. It's going to make us lose a lot of money just because our fans need to be happy.
So I will say this. Now, this is just from my perspective, how I'm inferring things. It feels like Disney's trying to make that happen, though.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the way the Spider-Man character's been handled, they didn't just bring Spider-Man into the MCU. They made Spider-Man basically the most important character ending Phase 3. Post-Endgame, it's Spider-Man. So what they did was, is they went and said, we have one movie left for this character. Let's make him the most, like, let's make him the linchpin of Phase 4. And then the contract is up. Now everyone's going to be really upset and really pissed off and go to Twitter. Boycott Sony is trending on Twitter tonight, right? If Sony doesn't renew our contract with them. And then we can ask for a shit ton more money. And if Sony backs out, they're the bad guys.
Yeah. That's
honestly they're the bad guys, but then their entire MCU is kind of in trouble because they've made that the linchpin. I mean, they're going to continue doing good movies regardless of Spider-Man. But if they've made him the linchpin, then that gives Sony some power because they need Spider-Man to make their plans go the way they want them to go.
At this point, over the next 2 years, according to Phase 4, we weren't going to see Spider-Man anyway. And that also could have been our first clue that this may or may not be a thing. Because I believe that if they wanted another Spider-Man movie in Phase 4, they would have extended it. It probably would have been 2022 that
we don't really know what happened to that. They get an extra film if it hits a billion thing,
right,
that's not been talked about during all of these news breaks. It's almost like that never happened.
Mm-hmm. Even though it was big news when it happened. Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe there is still gonna be another one and we don't, this means after that,
but
you know?
This could explain why Phase 4 is so short, why they only showed us the next like 4 movies instead of the next 10 movies. They could have known about this for a lot longer than what we've known about this, but this was always a possible outcome from
the beginning.
It was
probably a plan. Yeah. Disney
this
is
the
full
likeliest
of smart people.
Outcome the entire time is that the contract would not be renewed.
And if they don't, if there's no news about them reaching an agreement, you can bet at D23. There's going to be some guilt bombs dropped, you know, on the fans about Sony by Disney.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Feige will come out and say, I wish we could have reached a deal because we had so many great plans for the character. And then all the Spidey fans are going to pop up their boners and get their torches and start chasing down
Sony. Which is completely unfair. Like, look, you can be mad at Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3 all you want. You can. MCU has also made some bad movies, guys. Like, bring it down a notch. But they are on a uphill swing with Venom and Into the Spider-Verse.
Their latest Spider-Man movie is literally
Oscar winning.
Could be the best of all the Spider-Man movies. Agreed. Up there with Spider-Man 2. Like, that's their most recent one. Venom was debatable, but it made a lot of money.
It made a ton of money, and they're already making a sequel with Andy Serkis directing, which is a big freaking deal.
That's huge.
And they could use Tom Holland now if there is no second contract with Marvel.
Yeah.
So
that would be a fantastic move, because Tom Holland and Tom Hardy are both fantastic actors who could probably act the shit out of it together. They'd have a lot of fun, I bet.
I think it would be a really fun movie to watch. I liked Venom, as ridiculous as it was. I thought it was fun. It didn't really feel like a 2018 film, but I enjoyed it, and it made a lot of money, so you're going to see more of it.
I crack jokes at it, because I think there are certain parts where it takes itself too seriously, but I think there's also parts where it knows exactly what it is and has fun with it.
Well, right. Also the memes afterwards were
so good.
Great. I mean, did you guys ever think we'd see a sane Tom Hardy jump into a lobster tank and just start eating crustaceans? Like, his character wasn't
I kind of dreamed about that, you know, like I kind of wanted that to happen in my wildest dreams, but you know,
it's in Ryan's dream
if
journal.
If Nicolas Cage played Cletus Cassidy, then I would be in.
See, I just want Woody Harrelson to shave that hair. I really don't think the red hair is what you should have stuck with for Cletus Cassidy.
How much better would Nick Cage have been, though? Like, right?
Oh, Nick Cage would have been the best. And the curly red wig would have been the last thing I was looking at.
Nicolas Cage would have been great. But I think Woody Harrelson's
sure, he's
going to
kill it. I love
too,
Woody Harrelson. But,
so I don't want to
yeah.
belittle that. Because he's done some
I just think that Cage has the crazy thing down.
Cage has the crazy thing.
Psychopath he can do.
I mean,
it's right in his wheelhouse.
I think if you were to take his characters from War for the Planet of the Apes and Zombieland and kind of throw them together a little bit, but make him like truly evil, I think that's what you got right
no.
there.
You obviously never read a Carnage book.
You guys are forgetting that Woody Harrelson already did this. He already played this character in Natural Born Killers. Okay. Like, that guy is a serial killer. He went in front of a court in that movie and shot people in court while he was defending himself. Like, he has already played this insane character before.
Just without the hair.
He
didn't have red enough hair for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Never mind, Rachel. We take your point away.
I lost my argument because I've watched this movie already.
It won't work when he's wearing that wig.
That's right.
Anyway, everything sounds like it's a done deal, but we know how business works. We know that everything could still be up in the air because we don't know what's going on behind scenes. We don't know what these actual numbers are that they're looking at and just how significant things are. All we know is that we haven't lost Tom Holland or Zendaya just yet. It's still possible that this kind of storyline can continue.
Negotiations are never done in Hollywood, like ever done.
They're never
in
done
Hollywood,
in this household.
Right? Like, I mean, last week we were talking about
he's just gonna ignore that.
How CBS and Viacom are reemerging, right?
Sure.
Those talks have been going on for 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So 3 years ago, people probably were saying, oh, it's been 3 years. This is never going to happen. And then it happens, right? So it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen 6 months from now. But at some point, Disney and Sony may come to an agreement. It's very possible.
There are a few things that we can guarantee are just never going to happen. A Gambit movie with Channing Tatum. The release of Avatar 2.
A good Dark Phoenix movie.
A good Dark Phoenix movie. You know, most of it's X-Men related.
Aww.
Unfortunately.
That's sad. Yeah. All right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back in just a moment to talk the Dark Crystal, guys. Hey guys, we are back and we are going to talk about Dark Crystal. All right, so as you all know, when we talk about movies, we talk about spoilers. So if you haven't seen a 37-year-old movie, I'm so sorry. It's you not really, really like recent. It is. It's 37-year-old.
Spoil. Yeah, the spoiler ban is lifted.
1982.
Yes. Yeah.
For those of you without calculators.
For those of you who like just have a big mesh of the 80s in your head and, you know, you're kind of high during that time, this is the Jim Henson movie without David Bowie.
This is,
but he would have fit in really well. Yeah.
This is pre Back to the Future. This is pre Ghostbusters.
Pre Stranger Things.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Both in timeline and.
When season one take place of Stranger Things?
83. Everything's going to be over the course of like a year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pre Stranger Things. The Stranger Things kids had already seen this movie.
It's true.
Yeah. That explains a lot. Yeah, no, it was one of the first really, like, I don't even know if it, how much money it actually made at the box office, but it's one of the first, like, cult classic kind of movies from the 80s, I think. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot in 80 and 81.
No, I don't think there was, really. There was a lot of 1970s cult classics.
And, sure, even in 79, you know, in the late 70s, but yeah, when you start getting 80, 81, there's not really that much then. 82 is the mm-hmm. first.
So I wouldn't say it did poorly. Necessarily.
Henson had some clout to his name by then. He had been working for Sesame Street for a while.
Yeah.
So its opening weekend was only $4.6 million, but it ended up bringing in just over $41.6 million.
In 1982.
So that's actually not terrible at the end of the day, if you think about it. I'm going to pull up some other movies that it came out with.
No, the Henson and the Muppets, they've definitely had worse performing movies. Yeah. So this is probably closer to middle of the pack, I bet.
Right. Which for a movie that's completely, you know, puppets 100% and, you know, no real human anything in it.
No.
All the backdrops are made, everything's made. You know, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, I wouldn't even call the Skeksis humanoid.
No, I mean, not really. They were very. I mean, they kind of walk on two legs, but that's about the only.
They're bipedal, yeah. But
so it came out the same week as Tootsie, actually, which is kind of funny. Tootsie won the weekend with $10.6 million.
So it blew them out of the water,
right? And that's a movie I'm sure most of us have heard of. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was in theaters the same time. It was in theaters the same time as 48 Hours, Airplane 2, the sequel, and E.T.
Oh, well then.
It's a pretty big release to go up
against. Another puppet movie.
Those were all in theaters at the same time, which is kind of cool. 6 Weeks also came out that week, and An Officer and a Gentleman had been in theaters for 21 weeks.
That's insane.
Wow.
Why'd you guys watch that movie so long?
So, it did not do poorly. It's considered a cult classic now, which is kind of interesting, considering it actually did fairly well. At the time.
Cult classics don't necessarily have to perform poorly. It just has to be like either misunderstood or appeal to a niche audience.
I think for this movie, after it came out, it apparently did fairly well, but then it kind of dropped off the spectrum. Like it wasn't really that popular in the 80s after that. And it didn't really start getting a comeback until probably somewhere in the 90s when kids of my generation started watching it for the first time. I don't think I watched it until I was probably 4 or 5. So it would have been, you know, 88, 89.
I watched Labyrinth for the first time when I was 8, so it was in the
Labyrinth I probably saw when I was younger. You know.
It is slightly less scary images, I think. But I didn't see Dark Crystal until I was in my teens.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
So we definitely had the VHS of both of those. And I remember the Dark Crystal one because the box was like this green plastic. You know, because it couldn't
the clear just, see-through plastic, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, because it couldn't just be like a regular box, you know, kind of like how the ET VHS had the green on it, like it just couldn't be normal.
Sure.
It was the 80s.
It was the 80s, yeah. So I mean, I've been watching The Dark Crystal as long as I can remember. It was one of my earliest movies, which maybe in retrospect it shouldn't have been. It's a little on the creepy side, but I don't know.
So
that stuff never bothered me.
You grew up to be a well-adjusted adult. You're fine.
We all rewatched it for this.
We did.
So
just within the last like 48.
When was the last
hours.
Time you had watched the movie before this?
Maybe a year or two ago.
Okay, so you watched it pretty recently.
I love it. So I don't try to like. I don't want too much time to pass.
Yeah.
I had only ever seen it once before. And that was my first watching when I was 15. So it had been years since.
Yeah, approximately 3 decades.
I am 58.
That's right. She looks great for her age. No, mine was probably somewhere to yours, Derek. I seem to watch it like once every 18 months or so, seems like. So what did you guys think watching it this time? What, you guys watched it with each other. So this was your first time watching it with each other, right?
We kind of watched it together.
One of us fell asleep. It wasn't me.
We watched it at like 9 o'clock at night on the couch, and I was like under a blanket. Like, yeah, I fell asleep. Not because the content was boring. I was actually really into it this time around.
Yeah, I mean, so I have the 25th anniversary DVD, and so I was immediately disappointed.
Weird flex, bro.
Because I thought I had bought the Blu-ray when that came out, and apparently I just never got around to it.
That's disappointing.
So, yeah, it was. but the DVD is fine. You know, it's certainly not the same up-converted quality, and the DVD menu is super simplistic.
I streamed it in 4K on Netflix.
Is it 4K? More effort into DVDs than they do Blu-rays now. Like, I mean movie directors and content producers, that kind of thing, they have more special features. I've noticed like special features now are kind of paltry compared to what they were just like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and with this they have literally like an hour and a half long documentary behind the scenes of The Dark Crystal. And
if they do not offer that for Age of Resistance, I may be a little bummed.
They already
said
they're going to.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they said that. I think they said at the same time the show releases, they're also releasing the behind the scenes. Nice. So,
yeah. So I guess to better answer your question, I mean, it was great to watch it again. There were a few things I had just kind of, you know, forgotten about or maybe missed over the years. That there's just so much going on in some of those scenes, it's hard to pick everything up every time.
Absolutely. So the first time around, I was really focused on Kira. It's a year before I met a guy who's like, "You look and act like Kira," and I was like, "What are you talking about?"
It's kind of a weird thing to say, but
yeah.
You look like a Muppet.
Yeah, that doesn't really emote with their face at all.
Look, she's a pretty little gelfling who has wings. I was not insulted.
She's like, the hero of the film.
Right.
She is.
You should not be insulted, but it is a little bit of a weird thing to say about somebody.
Girl.
You probably just should never tell anybody they look like a Muppet.
No, Slash looks like a Muppet. I'm not in bad company. It's fine.
It's true.
Does he look like a Muppet, or does the Muppet look like him?
No. No. Anyway, so Kira's always stuck with me. Her heroic moments, her wings, and
the wing reveal.
Yes, the "Of course not, you're a boy." Like, I just love that boys don't have wings. Like,
it's fucked up. I feel oppressed.
You would. And then, of course,
hashtag all men don't have wings.
And then, of course, her death always stuck with me. So this time around, rewatching it, I was able to focus on so many other aspects. Like, as a kid, all the Skeksis kind of just blended together. And now it was very obvious they were all very different.
Yeah, they all represent one of the sins. If you go through and watch that and look for it, you can definitely spot it that way.
So Ray mentioned that to me. I had not heard that before, but there's 10 of them. So who are the other three?
There's a couple that are like
extras.
They can kind of go for any, several of the sins. But there's certain specific ones where you're like, okay, that's clearly what they're going for.
And there are three that die.
What is Chamberlain supposed to be?
I don't think Chamberlain is any of them. I think he's one of the kind of the extra ones.
Either.
No, scientist is also not.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up while we talk.
I let you guys borrow the visual encyclopedia for The Dark Crystal. You should definitely check it out. But there is a page where it has a beautiful shot of all the Skeksis, like individual headshots of each one. And you can, that one, when you're looking at it and going, okay, yeah, you'll see it then. I mean, it's pretty obvious which one's which. Plus, you'll recognize the personality.
So one of my favorite aspects of the movie has always been the connection between the Skeksis and the Mystics.
Mm-hmm.
And as an adult, it's funny to watch it and like realize kind of how obvious those connections are to the crystal. And
right.
When I was like,
They flat out say at the beginning that when the crystal broke, the Skeksis were formed and the Mystics were formed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they're
when
obviously
you're 4 years
old. No, they kept
old,
saying appeared.
Appeared.
They didn't say formed.
They appeared.
Said appeared.
And so when I'm like 4 or 5 years old, I didn't really put together the connection until it happens in the movie that like, oh, the crystal puts them together and kind of thing. But as an adult, I guess they do kind of telegraph that pretty well.
Yeah. And also the fact that those like mystical floating creatures are called Urskeks, makes it kind of obvious too, because all the mystics are named something, and Skex, obviously, all the Skexies names have some sort of Skek in them, basically.
I guess I never noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know if they actually say that in the movie. So
they don't
it's
say
fair,
the Uru part, but they say the Skexy part, of course, over and over again. They just keep calling them the mystics.
And they don't say that they're called Urskex when they're like the one being, but it's in the lore.
It's
that's
right
what
on
it is.
Here as I'm looking it up. So
yeah. So that when you know that, it's like, okay, this all makes sense now. It all came together.
So one of the coolest things about this, though, is there are no like living beings in this movie at all. There's no humans. There's no animals. It's all puppetry.
Yes, there are.
Are there?
Mm-hmm.
Are we...
Like characters?
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't catch it with all the rewatches. But there's basically all the scenes that are like wide shots of the Gelflings running is a child in a robe.
Sorry, that's not what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. That's not what
you
I mean.
You meant like actual I mean, characters.
Well, you don't actually see a human, yes.
Yeah, there are no characters in the movie that are humans or animals. They're all puppets.
Right.
Is what I meant.
That's true.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, some people think that there's legitimately like no humans ever on screen. And I guess that could be debated, but
that's semantics, I think. But to your point, like when he's up on the wall or whatever.
Right. It's clearly somebody running. And there's a few other scenes, if you watch for it, where you can tell that is not a puppet.
He moves different.
Yeah.
And sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's just so all the other Jim Henson productions, I think, include some other living
humans,
creatures. Yeah. So, like there's humans in them, you know, right? Like the Muppets, of course.
Right.
There's always humans.
Labyrinth.
In the Muppets, Labyrinth has, you know, David Bowie and others. I like that. I think it's really interesting because it's harder to relate to characters in this because none of them are like you.
Yeah.
They're all different. And the whole thing is very alien. And I think maybe that's why I gravitated towards it so much, because I love science fiction. And this is probably the most science fiction Jim Henson production.
Farscape.
I always forget that's Jim Henson, but there's still a lot of like live action human.
Sure, but I mean, I don't think you could say that this is more sci-fi than Farscape.
No, I forget that Jim Henson is Farscape.
Which is really worth a rewatch if you haven't watched it.
Farscape's
recently.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the great thing to your point about this is that in every scene, you can look anywhere on the screen other than the main character, and there's probably something going on there that you've never noticed before. Like there's every scene has either a little bug running by that's a puppet, or like some tentacles moving over in the corner that's a puppet, or like these weird bubble things on the floor that's some sort of human controlled thing. But there's always something everywhere. The world is very alive, and it was executed very well, and it really holds up. A lot of it holds up. That the only thing it doesn't hold up is the Gelflings themselves. You can, you know, the face looks aged, right? Like the textures they use for the faces and the way they move. And like when they're sitting naked in the very beginning, and
he's playing his flute.
Yeah. You can see like the joints and stuff like that. You know, and even the way they move to an extent, you know, dates them a little bit. When you get up close on the mystics, and a lot of their movement is not dated at all and looks wonderful. Same with the Skeksis. I mean, there's a lot of that where it's like, wow, this could come out today.
It's the faces.
And it's going to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's the faces more than anything. Because the scene in the beginning, they could have avoided just by having him wear clothes. There's no reason for him to be naked in that scene, really.
Yeah, that was weird.
And so they could have just hidden that. But throughout the rest of the film, you're right, though. When Jen and Kira are talking, their faces are much more static than any other character.
Yeah, if you watch like the scene when all the Skeksis are around the Dark Crystal and they're getting like the message or whatever, they're getting the light in their eyes, and it goes like a slow pan of a lot of the faces. You can see like things like their faces moving, muscles in their jaw, or like, you know, they're like Chamberlain's eyes twitching a little bit, the lower lid and stuff like that. And it's things like that. It's like, man, how much money in CG would that have cost to do? You know what I mean? It looks so much more realistic.
Part of me wonders if it was a budget problem, because Jen and Kira are on screen more than any of the others. And maybe they needed to have more simple designs because of that.
They probably had to do more movement.
Right.
And so they had to make them in a very specific way. I'm not complaining about it at all, but that's probably the only part of the movie that looks dated. And when you look at Age of Resistance and the trailers for it, I mean, the Gelflings do not look... I mean, they look beautiful. Yeah. So clearly, Henson Studios also agrees that they looked a little dated in the original.
Well, technology advances. They're certainly not building them the exact same way they were in 1982.
Right.
You know. But speaking of the Skeksis faces, though, the scene where the Emperor drinks the essence and he becomes young again. So, I mean, you know.
Temporarily.
For a couple of seconds. The effects on that are super cool.
Yeah, they are.
It's really great. It reminds me of kind of the special effects that were used in Poltergeist a bit, you know? And it just, I think that just still looks really neat. I like that kind of concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi, Ray.
You're, you've been very quiet. Were you sleeping?
No, I was looking
at... Oh, I didn't know if you fell asleep.
Stop it. You two have been... Like, you do that, but you two get into conversations back and forth, and I'm just like, all right.
I'm sorry. Cool. Go ahead, you're please. Fine.
No, I was pretty much enjoying what you guys were saying. Like, it's
we're
all...
enjoyable people,
very
so.
Valid and stuff. To quote the younger kids... I forgot how lit that Podling party was. Like,
oh man, they can throw a banger.
Like, no, that was fun. That was a really fun scene to watch. That song is pretty amazing.
Well,
like,
then when you see the contrast between that and the Skeksis party, which is basically them just eating the frog creature and like shoveling things down their gullets.
So nasty.
Gross.
Oh my god, watching them eat was so disgusting. And I think it, like, obviously it was supposed to be, so it evoked the correct emotion, don't get me wrong. Oh man.
Even like the Gartham Master, when they're doing the trial by stone, you see like the drool falling out of his mouth, like,
so
you know,
creative.
Stuff like that is great.
Well, you had, I forget the name of the Skeksis that has the little finger forks in the dinner scene.
Yeah.
And I, every time I watch it, every time I look at it, I go,
that's like the really that's like the really proper one, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think that's a kind of a cool utensil, and I'm sure like there's a reason behind that design. Maybe it was easier for them to move the puppet that way or whatever, but I don't know. It seems like a cool concept.
I did like that. Yeah. Each of the Skeksis are individual. You know, they have their own personality and they have their own way of talking. They were clearly made to have a role. Each one of them has their own role.
It does make me a little bummed out that the Mystics didn't get that in return. Like, we kind of see them have separate
Have roles, but it's not nearly as obvious, in their, especially in their character
and
design.
Only one of them talks. Like, Derek was really impressed that the credits had the puppet performers first and then the vocal actors second. And while all the Mystics, of course, had
puppeteers.
Thank you. There was only one voice for the Mystic, and that was the wisest.
Oh.
Uru or whatever his name.
Thanks, dear.
That's Derek's orgasm noise for people that don't know. He starts humming like a Mystic. Yeah.
What, you don't do that?
I don't think that's a normal thing. No, I go, Gelfling!
Oh, man.
Gelfling friends! Yeah.
Oh, Chamberlain.
All right, let's talk about
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain
is one spicy piece of meat, I'll tell you that much. Okay, so legit, like, when the Emperor is dying, me and my brothers used to quote that all the time, like, I am still Emperor scene. And then he, like, disintegrates. That was great.
Yeah.
But then Chamberlain getting stripped of all his clothing and everything, that is like super damaging even to me as an adult.
Yes.
So I can't imagine how I dealt with it.
Incredibly intense. Like, how humiliating. That is worse to me than I think just being like publicly flogged or beaten or something like that. I think I could take that if we were back in medieval times, but like, it same with Game of Thrones when Cersei was made to walk naked in the street and had like rotten food.
Chamberlain did it,
like,
first.
Exactly Chamberlain was first. Game of Thrones.
Oh man,
get your shit together.
George R. R. Martin stole that. No,
so when you think about like the political structure though of the Skeksis and I guess even the Mystics too, they're such a small group now, right? I mean, there's 11, you know, when we start, right? And they still follow like all of their traditions, all of their laws, all of the rules. It's all very
trial
strict.
By stone.
Yeah, like the trial by stone. It's a cool scene and all, but like, it's amazing to me that they still follow those rituals. And then I guess it kind of makes it's a little confusing because they don't want to kill each other off because there's only like 10 of them left.
Yeah, so you think they're going to fight each other with the swords, but then they just like start chopping at a rock.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, those are cool swords. They're going to beat
I always
each
wanted
other.
One of those swords. Yes. They're so cool looking.
They are cool swords.
Maybe now with a new show, is the opportunity for prop makers.
They are. Chronicle Collectibles is releasing the Skeksis Emperor scepter.
That's cool.
Which is really cool. It's like $300. Shout out to Chronicle Collectibles. Sponsor the show. Give
Jen's
me one.
Jen's flute. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's totally really
like
that. Cool.
It's a big character piece for her. Like, you know, it's really important for her character. Or for his character. Sorry. He's constantly playing that flute, you know,
throughout the entire movie.
And it's cool. It's, you know,
that's how we meet him, and that's what he does when he feels safe and happy. So it's very important to him.
So in the trial,
gender identity is weird in Gelflings. Rachel, don't give me that look.
in the trial by stone scene, when the emperor, what's the guy's name who actually becomes the emperor?
I don't remember his name, but I think he's a Gartha master.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right? So he goes and he hits the sword, he hits the stone. He's so proud of himself. He's so happy. I'm like, you didn't do anything, man.
But everybody's like, oh, look what he did. Like, they're all talking and, you know, really impressed by it. Chamberlain does it, and he's like this weakling, but he still hits it pretty hard.
Yeah,
and they're all impressed with him, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
so when he comes back and like chops the thing in half, I'm like, whoa, where did that come from?
He was so mad, his rage. Now how do they do it? If they have another emperor, they just chop lower on the rock?
They have to get a different stone.
Oh, okay.
It's just a stone.
It looks kind of special, though.
Maybe. I think they've just been using it
for a long time. Yeah.
So before we end, I think we should talk about Agora, because she is like...
She's amazing.
Some of these characters are
cool female character, like... And and she's going to be in the show, which is interesting.
Yeah, the Skeksis and the Mystics should be the exact same ones. We should just see more of them because they haven't died off yet. Gelflings have a shorter lifespan. So we should see, like, we're obviously seeing a ton more of them because they haven't been.
Well, this is 1,000 years right before the show.
I thought it was 500 before the show.
No, it's 1,000.
Because they say in the show that 1,000 is when the crystal is cracked.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But
we're going to watch the crystal crack in this
That's what
show.
I thought this whole thing was.
Can't be there yet then.
Nobody's saying that in the first episode or two they are.
Well, it seems like in the trailer everyone already knows who the Skeksis are.
That's
and they're
true.
Doing something bad. So I thought they were already
there.
They
can cut a trailer any which way they want.
That's true. I thought I had read an article that said 500 years.
Yeah, you might have. I thought it was closer to 1,000.
Maybe I'm confusing that because The Mandalorian takes place 5 years after The Return of the Jedi, and I'm just confusing my numbers. But
look, I'm more than happy to go like fact check this after that or whatever, because, you know, I want to be correct. I don't want to talk about.
Right.
Cause it seems
but Agra will be in it.
Yes. Agra's in it. Of course, all the Skeksis characters and Mystic characters will be the same, and we'll probably get more from all of them. But the Gelflings will be new. And
you
we'll
get to
see
way more clans of the Gelflings.
All the clans and how they conduct themselves, how they're different from each other. So that should be a lot of
fun. Which clan uses Shanks?
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen them in the trailers.
Versus Shivs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Agra.
Agra, yeah. So she's this really neat paranoid witch lady hermit, and I love her.
Is she paranoid?
A little bit.
I mean, rightfully so.
I mean, she has her whole place covered in like these creepy vines that are these like they can see, but they also can't see, and they're prehensile. So like that's a really interesting defense mechanism.
Well, they didn't have like an alarm system.
But they had moats.
You know.
Like, you know, moats
not up
existed.
In the mountains. True. She's up in the mountains.
She is up in the mountains. That's true.
You can't have a moat in the mountains.
You don't know that?
That would just be a valley.
Oh, waterfall flows.
You never know. In Thrall, things might work differently.
Right? Maybe. Get out of here.
Maybe she's just
trying
in the valley.
To argue.
True. She could be.
Anyway.
She's a valley girl.
She has the coolest possession on the planet, and that is the
crystal shard.
No, the solar system.
I mean, that's pretty cool, too.
That's amazing.
But she also likes to steal stuff. Like, when she steals the thing from the Skeksis party, I was like, oh, that's great.
So there's one thing that really stuck with Ryan his entire life about Agra. And what is
her nipples?
Yes.
Because I was going to answer that when you said possessions. I was going to be like, her nipples?
Yeah.
Because they're like... They were more apparent than I remembered.
Yeah.
I think you were just looking for them like I was. Because I was like, man, why is Ryan so fixated on these old lady nipples?
Because they're there. Like, why do they obviously felt the need to include those for some reason, right? Like, that's a character design. They did that on
totally
purpose.
You're totally right. They put nipples on a puppet.
They made it show through the clothes. Like,
they did.
It was a choice somebody made. This probably is not Henson.
The last time Henson would go full force on the nipples. Right, so I will pull you up the Gonzo scene where he has nipples.
Guys. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't remember that.
It's but you also didn't remember Augur's nipples being that prominent.
I don't remember her nipples being that pronounced. I knew what you were talking about, though. When did you see Gonzo's nipples?
In the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I actually have never seen that one. Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
So Gonzo is the Tin Man, and Kermit is the Scarecrow, and Gonzo is showing all the different parts on him and what these cool, like, Inspector Gadget things do, and then Kermit reaches out and touches one of his nipples, and he's like, what does that do? And Gonzo just says, those are my nipples. Like, that's it.
That's the sentence.
All right. Like, I remember being completely flabbergasted.
That sounds like a better version of The Wizard of Oz, to be honest.
They just look like little toggles that you just flip, and I'm like, oh my.
Is that not how nipples work?
Is Fozzie the lion?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's Dorothy?
Ashanti.
Oh, so it's not like Miss Piggy or something?
Miss Piggy plays all four witches.
Yes. All four witches.
The two good and the two bad. One is a one-eyed biker who rides her motorcycle in the sky. It's pretty great.
All right.
Like, this movie is fucked. You guys should watch it.
I'm getting more and more interested as time goes on.
Right? I've never seen this. I gotta check it out.
Not quite Return of the Oz fucked, but still pretty fucked.
Alrighty then.
So what do you guys think of the Gartham? Did you find them scary?
No. The Gartham, like, were intimidating for sure. And, of course, it's incredibly sad when they attack the Landstriders. And, you know, both the
That's
Landstriders
like on the
die.
Level of the horse in the Neverending Story for
Our
me.
Attacks.
Really?
Watching those, dude, those Gartham just destroy that Landstrider on the ground. They just, like, rip it. It's implied that they just, like, rip it apart and kill it.
Yeah, no, you're true. Right. We just don't get a lot of, like, screen time with the Landstrider.
I don't know. I've always
we don't
liked
get
the
that
Landstrider.
Much time with Artax either.
I guess it's different because these were just, like, random Landstriders that Kira finds, whereas, like, Artax is
she doesn't really find
horse.
Them. She summons them. They come to help her.
Yeah. Right, I know. But I don't, like, we don't know that she knew them or anything
they
like
sacrificed
that.
Themselves
and that's
to save her.
It is a sad scene. I just putting it on the same level.
I put it on that level.
As Neverending Story.
I think the most damaging part to me is watching the essence get sucked out of all the podlings.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing.
That is dark. Sad. Cause not
it's like us working our jobs. Basically, every
only
day.
Faster.
Our essence is getting sucked out every day.
Well, like, we see the podling slaves at the very beginning and all throughout, and we're like, oh my god, they look so sad. But, you know, that's what years of slavery does to somebody. It breaks you down. But then we see the actual essence being sucked out right in front of our faces. So it's not years of torture. It's 5 seconds of agonizing mind melting and soul crushing. And, like, it was...
It's a really dark scene.
It was. I think that was the most traumatizing part for me.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Do you guys wish you could dream fast with each other?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think that would be a benefit to humanity?
I think if consent was involved, I think if you could control it, if you could touch somebody's hand and kind of just share your past, it would make first dates go really easily. I think that...
Maybe.
I think if it just happened on contact, if you just touch somebody and all of a sudden you're connected, that would be bad. That would be very, very bad.
I don't think
that's
how it works in Gelfling culture.
I don't think so either.
But it is kind of weird because they do, Jen has never seen another Gelfling before, and then they're dream fasting.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, how do you consent to that? Yeah, well, it's a weird thing. But
there's a bit of a problem with Kira because... No, it's unclear why she knows so much more about Gelflings than Jen. Like, Jen barely knows that he is a Gelfling.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Kira seems to know pretty much everything about
Gelflings. Well, don't you think that could be a couple of reasons? Either the podlings told her more about Gelflings or she remembers more from her childhood. We do see a quick scene where her mom stashes her away.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Like, they seem to be similar ages.
I always assumed that it was the podlings letting her know, or the animals she was communicating with. I mean, I don't know how clear the communication is with them, but, you know.
Well, so I guess, could Jen communicate with those animals, too? He just doesn't know how?
I don't think he
maybe
he
that's
wasn't
part of his clan
to,
and her
yeah.
clan.
Because she's shown to do it with all different kinds of animals.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's weird because in the movie it doesn't bother me. I don't care because it's
just
it's
just thinking of the practical world building stuff right now.
It's... Yeah, it just I'm not sure why they're so different. Like the wings, fine. That's a sex thing, but you know,
it could be the clans. Like all maybe. Seven yeah. clans are supposed to be incredibly different.
But like being able to communicate with animals and stuff, that's not a cultural difference. That's like a biological or a physiological difference.
Not necessarily. Right. You could learn a language.
That's a lot of languages.
They don't use many different languages, the animals. I mean, it's hard to say. It's not. It's a whole different world, so it's hard to say exactly how ecology works on Thra, but...
Mm-hmm. You know. I guess, yeah. It seems like then she would just have to know a lot of different languages.
Well, it's not like she's having full conversations with them either. She's communicating basic things, so maybe she just knows a couple different phrases and if...
It's hard to say. Know. It's more likely that she learned it from the podlings than yeah. she did from the animals, but I don't know. Maybe she has her clan has the ability to dream fast with other things, so maybe she could dream fast with the animals and
that's well, why how wouldn't she knew that. Why wouldn't the Mystics want to teach Jen those things, especially if they knew what
well,
he
it sounds
would need
like
to do.
The Mystics kept him in the dark about a everything. Of,
yeah, he didn't but even know anything.
Even though they knew that he was like the chosen
maybe
one.
That's what they had to do to make so that he could be the chosen one, because if they told him too much, then he would try and overthink it or, you know.
Maybe
so.
Go see the Gelfling ruins on
yeah,
his
exactly.
own.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
They had to protect him.
Yeah, keep him in the dark.
That's a fair point. I could buy that.
I did like that all the Mystics have their like own clothing style. They yeah. all look different. And I just
their
the Mystics
roles
are
and
a cool
jobs
design.
I felt were more pronounced than the Skeksis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a cool design too. I love mm-hmm. the like way they walk, but they have these four arms mm-hmm. and you know, they sing. I think that's wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
Though most of them of their time in the movie is basically their own Lord of the Rings walk.
Yeah, that's
true. They're just walking. Like,
waddling all the way up to Mount Doom, yeah.
Right? Like, you guys should have been a little bit closer to the Skeksis, I think. I don't know why
that
is.
That seems dangerous when they just send Garthum out on a whim to come destroy your sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Except that
they didn't ever attack the Mystics that way, really, so.
Right, I mean, why would they? I mean,
we don't know. In the very beginning, they could have.
That's true.
Yeah, but at some point, one of them is going to figure out, hey, we should stop doing that.
Yeah.
We're connected.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you're fine. You could live next door to
each
other.
It's probably the same reason why, like, even when the Mystics showed up to the castle,
they didn't get attacked.
Yeah, they didn't get attacked by anybody. So
it's literally suicide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. What else? Anything else?
That asshole kicked Fizgig into Molten Lava.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Fizgig. Fizgig is great.
Fizgig's like this little ball of dog.
That has four rows of teeth.
I love how sad he gets when they're not going to take him on the Land Strider and then he throws a fish.
Yeah, that you can relate to that. Anybody that has a dog can relate to that, right?
Or a child's like.
And Kira's like, fine.
And Fizgig can't decide whether he wants to roll everywhere or jump everywhere. Like, he uses so many methods of locomotion in this movie. It's crazy.
The rolls are funny. And the castle,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's great, mm-hmm. yeah, and he's the one that gives Kira away in the yeah. castle when right. they're all above the crystal, right? Yeah, that was funny.
There are some interesting parallels to some of the story and character like setup to the original Star Wars. Actually,
I was going to say when I was watching this, and of course Henson designed all the puppets for Star Wars, or had a huge hand in the creature design. That it's a shame Dark Crystal didn't take off the way Star Wars did, because it could have been the fantasy version of this. He created, you know, new languages and whole world for this, and had a whole mythology and, you know, history. So it could have been the fantasy version. But instead we got Lord of the Rings like 30 years later. So
like it's interesting, because if you want to compare some of these characters, like, so Jen is Han Solo, Kira is Leia, mm. you know, Fizgig is Chewie, of course.
There's so many similarities, but also incredible differences at the same time.
Agra's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's the best.
The Mystic
ever.
Master is Yoda. Like, there's a lot of character similarities. Obviously, the story is incredibly different, but right. they still go to, like, essentially the Death Star.
I would argue that Agra is Yoda.
You would argue that Agra is Yoda?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that too.
Yeah, they travel to Agra in order to get information about what they're supposed to be doing to well, progress their journey.
I would say Jen is probably.
I mean, Obi-Wan seeks
too,
out
being the
Luke.
Chosen one.
Yeah.
Not Han.
Yeah, I don't really see a Han parallel with him at all, but
maybe Fizgig's Han.
Fizgate can be whoever he wants to be. Okay, let's just
who's Chamberlain. I just did that for the lulz,
anyway. Who's Chamberlain?
Yeah,
isn't it the
Lando? Maybe no, because Lando wasn't actually evil.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter because like it's that would be interesting.
Join us next week for our comparison.
Yeah, our fan pitch for Dark Crystal crossover with the Star Wars.
I thought that so many times. I was like, this could have been like an amazing trilogy of films. I would have loved to see that world get bigger and bigger when I was a kid and not wait until I was a full
aging
adult.
The second movie would just be a bunch of Gelfling sex.
I mean, I want to see it.
You should see their mating dance.
Which one dances?
They Which both one dance.
Doesn't.
Ooh, they both dance. Okay.
The woman starts it. The female Gelfling.
Of course.
I mean, the female starts dancing in this house, too.
Kira had to do everything. So.
That's right.
Poor Jen. He was kind
He just wanted to do the right thing. And,
but nobody would tell him what to
do. Yeah, exactly. It's not that he's inept or anything like that. He just... nobody tells him anything.
Kira told him to stop so many times. She saved his butt quite a few, but she also was like,
"Yeah,
don't
he was ready to go
this.
With the Chamberlain. He was ready to make peace with the Skeksis, which is actually a pretty brave thing in itself, too.
So that's an interesting thing we didn't talk about because it seemed like Chamberlain was like hypnotizing him.
Yeah, they do kind of imply that there was something going on and that Kira was stepping in, but you don't like. I don't know.
He gets kind of like as glossy.
Over.
Yeah, exactly.
The puppets were supposed to have these penetrating stares so that the different Skeksis were completely terrifying. Like, I don't know, a lot of horrors in the eyes, and either if they're really dead or really like fixated or something. So that could have been part of it. But also, Jen could have just been standing there weighing his options. Like, should I.
Sure, when I'm thinking about something and somebody's talking to me, I might look glazed over, too. I mean,
I don't know. I think if they were humans, we would have thought they were being hypnotized. I just think they couldn't.
No, you're totally right. Like, that's...
It's possible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But either way, it was a good thing Kira was there.
Well, yeah. That's kind of... That's the moral of the story. That's the message of the Dark Crystal. Always bring Kira with you.
Yeah, exactly.
I just...
always have a bath.
The small scenes.
I'm having a bath! What was that scene? So random.
They had to make a little baby Gelfling.
Yeah, like for this one scene to have a bath.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, the one line that always sticks with me is when he finally gets to teach Kira something, which is writing. And she goes, "What's writing?" And he goes, "Words that stay." And that line always stuck with me.
And now Derek writes all the time.
I do. My words stay very often.
It's true. I've always said that about you.
Well, guys, do you have any other thoughts on the Dark Crystal?
Looking forward to the chance to be able to talk about the show with Rachel.
It's
going to
be awesome.
The score is quite beautiful in this movie.
It is.
I really
we already
like it.
Talked about how all the songs are bangers.
Did we?
Well, we mentioned the pod.
I'm talking about the score.
Yeah, Probably's
party.
Yeah,
it is. And very iconic.
I really, really liked it. I thought it was really good. Very in tone. The Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, Neverending Story, those kinds of movies were my favorites growing up. So
the 80s had great scores in all their movies like that. So
a lot of them did.
Not all of them, but a lot of them.
A lot of them. But that kind of film, though, when there is that type of puppetry involved, is always going to grab my attention. So.
Yep.
So you guys are going to watch the behind the scenes and read the entire visual encyclopedia before the show comes out next Friday, right?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm doing instead of sleeping tonight.
We actually can't watch the show until Labor Day.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to binge it on Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
How many episodes is it? 10?
10. Yeah. Okay, I'll probably try and watch a couple episodes a day and not burn myself out on it.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, that's what we did with Stranger Things, and it was much more... No, Stranger Things, we watched all in one day.
Yeah.
Good Omens, we did that, and it was...
Yeah,
but that was only like four
six
or six
episodes.
Six, yeah.
So we did 3 days, but... Yeah. But yeah,
it was
Age
a bit
of Resistance.
More enjoyable then.
We're not reviewing it on this show.
No, we are not. We've kind of stopped doing TV reviews
on this particular show. Yeah. I feel that like when we try and do an entire season or series, sometimes
we gloss over a lot of things.
We do. We miss a lot of details. So, I have started a new fantasy TV review podcast.
Big reveal.
Big reveal.
No
guys.
Big reveal. No big reveal. Not yet. Can't tell them what it's called yet.
I'm not going to tell you what it's called. The concept is I review a couple episodes of a fantasy TV series in each podcast with one other guest. Sometimes it's going to be these guys because, of course, there's a ton of overlap. Sometimes it's going to be other familiar
faces.
Plus,
we have a lot of free time. So.
I'm also just here.
Yeah, Derek's always here.
You are. You're always here, man.
You got to get out more, Derek.
I try, but, video games.
no other news on it at this moment. It's already underway. You know, where this is going to happen. We'll have a few episodes, but.
We're looking at a September release.
Yeah.
So next month. So it's not too far off.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not too far behind the release of the actual show.
No.
It'll be a few weeks, but not too much. It'll still be. Enough for people to binge, not enough for it to be no longer forgotten. Relevant. Yeah. But I'm also going to go back and review shows that have been out for a few years. I can't help that the podcast is debuting now and not a few years ago. So.
Right. Plenty of content. So yeah. Keep an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. It'll be good.
All right, guys. So that's going to wrap us up this evening. Of course, you can join us every Tuesday on twitch.tv/heroespodcast, or you can catch the podcast every Thursday on most podcast players, Apple Music, Spotify. What?
Apple Podcasts is a separate app now.
Oh, my God. I didn't do it. Every time, guys. Fault, Derek. Every time. He just always gives me a look, and I know I effed up.
I could write it all down.
No, because it's just going to change. Because every time I get it, the next week it's different, okay?
Okay.
It is. Okay. You hush.
Okay. It's true, Derek.
Okay.
I'm on her side.
Thank you. Anyway, you can follow us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. You can follow the Heroes Podcast Network, heroespodcast.com, or Heroes Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To follow us individually, you have Buster Props on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You have the Star Trek Dude with Derek on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you have me at Siren Ray on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's going to do it, guys. I think that's it. So we'll see you next week. What are we talking about next week?
Martial arts films.
That's right.
Derek and Rachel are going to be watching a lot of martial arts films
next
week.
I'm so excited.
No, we're prepping for this because this is a big one. So, Ryan, you requested this topic
like
quite
3 years ago. Yeah.
A year ago.
It's at least 5 years ago, guys.
I've only known you 5 years.
Before we even knew each other.
I got this weird Facebook message. I'm sorry, Zanga message back in high school from this guy named Ryan. Yeah.
Well, I was in high school. You guys were in elementary school.
That's fair. Yeah. But we just discussed this. Yeah. I was clearly in college at that time since I'm 58 years old.
I forgot you were so old.
Yeah.
So, yes, we will be talking martial arts films next week. Ryan, do you want to add any color to that commentary?
No.
We're going to focus mostly on international foreign ones. We're not talking about a lot of American.
We're not going to hit, I don't think we're going to be talking about what a lot of purists would call classics. We're going to be hitting more like early Jackie Chan movies, some Bruce Lee movies, and going into some more modern stuff.
Your main goal is to hit the major players, especially the Chinese, Japanese.
Rather than like individual iconic movies, yes. Right. I'd rather have,
a good discussion of Donnie Yen and Jet Li and Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee, of course.
Obviously Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
Like, America had this phase where we tried to have martial artists with Chuck Norris and Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme, but it didn't last, and they were all very weird movies that you should not ever repeat viewing. So
Street Fighter.
Well, we're going to watch that one later for funsies. Like
Bloodsport, Kickboxer. I mean, I could go on a Double Team where he teamed up with Dennis Rodman.
Doesn't that sound awful, though? Like,
I'd rather watch Demolition Man.
Yeah, that's fair. Double Team was kind of a joke, but the other ones were okay.
Anyway.
JCVD was my favorite of all of those.
So, again, not really reviewing things next week, just discussing all the cool films and a whole new genre. To our podcast. We don't really talk about martial arts film. And we hope you join us. So we'll see you next week, guys.